Hi, I'm Andrew Steen, and welcome back to the Spark Marketing Podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on AI. Back at our Sapphire event, our celebrity interview was Reese Witherspoon. And Reese runs a very successful business, and she uses a ton of data and is very interested in the topic of AI. In fact, she said, AI isn't going to replace you, but the person who understands how to use AI just might. So with that in mind, we thought we would try to demystify AI for you as users and as marketers. Let's get into it. Before we get too far along, I thought we'd start off with some common AI terms that you're going to hear throughout the podcast to make sure that we're all on the same page. Let's bring in our resident AI expert, Vidya, to help us go over those terms and what they actually mean.
I am Vidya Gugnani. I'm part of SAP's Business AI Partner Product Management team. I lead the same for North America, helping our partners build on AI innovations, helping them understand what SAP has to offer, and moving us together in the journey forward. I'm here today to give you an understanding of what the day-to-day terms in AI mean and how it is relevant to SAP and your work. Humans communicate using language, and we have so many languages and dialects in the world. Think of LLMs or your large language models as the language in the AI world. An LLM processes data sets to help us create, search, translate, respond to questions, generate queries, analyze the data, spot trends, and help us from everything from code generation, robotic programming, fraud detection in applications, and much, much more. Machine learning's goal is to understand from all of these large data sets, create patterns, do forecasting, sorting, analysis, and help us solve problems. And generative AI is actually a subset of machine learning because it leverages these algorithms to create text, images, audio, video, music. Machine learning has been used tremendously by SAP for forecasting, for predictive algorithms, and a lot of custom applications, which both SAP and our partners have developed. With generative AI now, if you want to understand not only patterns in how your supply chain is performing, but you also want to ask what if there was a certain disruption in the supply chain flow, what would happen? These are the kind of applications that generative AI can now create, help, answer, and augment with the help of SAP technologies or our SAP Foundation. Sometimes LLMs can provide inaccurate data based on sometimes the language in which the prompt was given. They also have a time span. So if an AI model was trained till 2022, it will retrieve and generate results for you only till then. And this is what we refer to as hallucinations. So either it's false, inaccurate data, or your model is making up results as it goes to show you something that doesn't exist. Of course, hallucinations like in the real world are not something that's desirable or preferable within the AI world, and we at SAP have measures to control and provide trained data. Prompt engineering is a mechanism by which you can help to design prompts to guide your generative AI models to produce the answers that you need. Every day, you're going to hear a new word, a new terminology, a new provider, a new offering within AI. And that's why we are here at SAP to provide you the guidance, the information, and to take you on this path of SAP Business AI.
Thanks, Vidya. That was very helpful. I love how deep she is on this topic and how she can break things down so simply. Okay, now I'd like to bring in Jared Coyle. I had the opportunity to spend some time with Jared in person recently in Chicago. And I just love talking with Jared. He's so passionate about this topic, and every single time I talk to him, I learn something new. So let's go to the interview. First of all, welcome to Jared Coyle, who is our North American Head of Business AI for SAP. Welcome, Jared. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure, and I'm excited for this conversation.
Yeah, me as well. Well, before we get into it, let's talk a little bit about your background and about your journey to AI. How did you get into this job? Because it's a pretty cool job, frankly.
It happened a little bit by accident, quite frankly. It started out, I was a physicist about a decade ago, and then held a number of roles at SAP across a number of our board areas, from product to consulting, also in the sales organization. And then a number of years ago, started leading a number of our AI initiatives that where we were using AI to sell products. Mm-hmm. Well, the more and more we got AI in our products, I eventually started doing a lot of work with that and am now here leading AI for North America.
Cool. Well, let's come back to that portion of it because it sounds like you've been doing AI for a little while. And for a lot of people, this is a pretty recent phenomenon, mm-hmm. but I know that it's actually not. So let's come back to that in a second. You mentioned that you were a physicist. I hope we don't all have to be physicists to get AI. Let's hope it's not that complicated. But what are you most excited about with AI and what you've seen over the past, call it decade?
So it's interesting. Before, AI was all around those narrow AI use cases where there's a quantitative benefit, an estimate of an inventory level, a recommendation of a product. And with generative AI, it kind of flipped the narrative, where the superpower of these new generative capabilities is really about those natural aspects of AI outputs. So the ability to have a conversation with a computing system that feels more natural, the ability to see language and video and audio created by computers in a humanly natural way really changes what you can do with it.
But just thinking about this audience, most of the folks that are on here are business development reps, they're marketing reps, they're sales reps. So largely a non-technical audience. What do you think AI means for them as a non-technical person today? And maybe fast forward 3 to 5 years.
Sure. I mean, if we think about marketing and business development, let's go back to the superpower of what these new AI capabilities bring. They make things natural. They let you automate things, which means they let you generate potentially personalized content that feels very real. They let you auto-generate imagery in your direct field marketing campaigns. They let you have narratives in email campaigns that feel like they are specific to the individual that you're sending them to. It's that next level of suavity in terms of really being able to start those early business development conversations in a way that is more human in many senses, despite the fact that it's built on technology.
And so I guess from that perspective, it's an amplifying effect, right? You take your abilities as a marketer, as a BDR person, and you should be using this to amplify those things, accentuate those things. It's certainly not a replacement. Is that a fair statement?
It is absolutely a fair statement. The way I like to think of it, I call it the creative generalist. Mm-hmm. It allows you as an individual and as a creative human being to have these new capabilities. You know, you may not be a brilliant writer, but you're really good in understanding, you know, what individuals respond to from a content perspective. And so AI says, well, great, you can bring in that writing capability and you can now have, you know, the skills of a writer that's 2 to 3 levels above where your skills are at.
Yeah, I always love it as a starting point as well, that whole writer's block situation that we sometimes find ourselves in. I know that there's many times I've been staring at a blank PowerPoint, not knowing exactly where I want to start. I find it super helpful for that. How do you use it today?
So I use it in a number of different forms. First off, every meeting I have, I transcript and then have a report that comes out from that. And then when I need to re-reference something that a meeting that I've had or whatever, I have notes and next steps for that. So that's one area that I've used it heavily in. When I have a situation, like you said, where I know I'm going to have writer's block, I have an upcoming presentation on a topic I haven't done yet, I go to, you know, a different large language model and I ask it to frame out my initial talk track. Now, 99% of the time I look at it and I'm like, I'd rather do this, this, and this. But it gets you over that writer's block kind of challenge.
Yeah, it's better to read and react to something sometimes than it is to just try to create it on your own and start from scratch. That blank page can be intimidating.
Well, and one of the other things that I've found immensely helpful is a lot of people feel that large language models' outputs are not in their tone. right? You know, everybody has their own flair, their own style in the way that they communicate. And one of the best ways to make sure that it does carry your tone is nearly every advanced large language model has the ability to bring like a PDF document in that you can use as reference. So I have a massive 200-page PDF document of a ton of writings and emails that I've done that I literally will say, I want you to draft an email to this person with this message, but use the tone in this document.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
It works very well.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's start to talk a little bit about SAP's business AI. So just high level, what exactly does SAP's business AI mean to you? Like, orient me to that topic.
If you think about it, what does SAP do? We provide software to the largest organizations on the planet, to the largest group of companies on the planet. And so we need finance capabilities and knowledge in AI. We need HR capabilities in AI. We need supply chain capabilities. And when you consider all of these different domains, the shared kind of nature of all of them is they are tabular data. That means they sit in databases. It's already structured data. And so that is our specialty. That is our niche. We are not trying to swallow the internet whole and create our own, you know, huge, large language models. We're focused on what's needed in HR, what's needed in finance, what's needed in supply chain.
Maybe we should talk a little bit about the three R's and again, orient people to that.
So it's relevant, reliable, responsible. So let's talk relevant first. You know, AI needs to provide relevant responses to a business audience. So what that means is when you ask about a sales order, it needs to know what a sales order is. When you ask about a billing document in finance, it needs to know what a billing document is. When you ask about bank accounts, it needs to know that is not an aquarium. And so that is kind of the relevant aspect. It needs to understand, okay, how does this apply in a business context? Then there is reliable, which basically means it doesn't make up the really important stuff. Business decisions have to be made grounded on quantitative factual truth. And then responsible. AI is an amplifier. It amplifies the good and it can amplify the not so good. And so what is paramount, you know, for an organization like SAP with 50 plus years of experience working in that business to business context is the use cases that we deploy need to be done responsibly. You don't want someone coming in and say, what does everyone in this company make? And it gives you a list of that. You need to know what people have access to and what they shouldn't have access to. You need use cases that are inclusive and do not amplify some of the biases that we as humans tend to carry. This is actually a space that SAP has been in for the past 8 years or so. We've invested a lot in making sure that we have the processes to deploy AI appropriately. It really started in earnest in 2016 when we changed our core product, our ERP product, and made it, superpowered it essentially for narrow AI.
That's really important when people are thinking about and when customers are saying, well, hey, you're going to load my data, our business data, our top secret 007 business data into a large language model. How are you going to protect my data? What should a marketer or a business development person tell a customer if they're asking those questions?
We think of AI as a monolith, and that's where there's some challenges. So let's look at a couple different examples. The number one use case at SAP and AI is you pick up your phone, you take a picture of a receipt, it finds all the information on that receipt, audits the different components, and then puts that onto an expense report, knowing that that entry has been essentially automatically audited. And for the most part, the information that is included in that is non-competitive, particularly when it's anonymized. Versus, let's look at a competing example. I have two of the largest beverage organizations on the planet sitting on a supplier network. And I'm making this up, but it'll give you a sense of the scenario. And their competitive advantage is their suppliers. And so you want to make sure that from that competitively advantaged viewpoint that this company A does not have access to the competitive advantaged suppliers of company B. And so you have to think about the use cases in terms of which ones are high risk for competitive advantage and which ones are ones that, quite frankly, nobody cares if you have this massive pool of data.
So we're using SAP that uses a lot of these different large language model from different providers, but that data isn't being exposed across the board from different company to different company. It's being secured, but it's still specific to that individual company. Yes?
That's correct. And so what that means is that your information is not going to be shared with your competitors. Your information is not going to be used to train a model that's going to take your secret sauce and give it to somebody else.
Got it. All right, let's talk about the customers now. So we talked a little bit about some of their concerns. What are their wants? What are their desires? What are their dreams? What are customers looking for today that some of our partners can actually help them with, where they're either struggling or just want more information? What does that look like? What are you hearing on the street today?
Organizations are looking to understand a couple different areas, and I like to bucket it out. I think this is the easiest way to think about it. You need to start with the business capabilities of the organization you're working with. Where are the areas that you can reasonably improve the business that'll drive either that top line revenue opportunity or that bottom line efficiency? Mm-hmm. And once you have that heat map, then you move on to, okay, within the, say, capability of finance, what are the opportunities that I could reasonably have before me? And so then within those opportunities, you have to think about three use case patterns. First, what's the stuff that's just built? It's pre-trained. It works. I can just turn it on within software I already have. Bucket number two is what I like to call the bolt-on capabilities. This is code generation. So If you're thinking about how do I make our groups smarter? How do we make our groups faster and more efficient? You use those code generation capabilities or document scanning capabilities to drive efficiencies, even if it's not in the core kind of software. And then every organization is going to have their competitive advantaged custom AI as well. How can organizations build that out without bringing to bear armies of expensive data scientists? And the partner community is uniquely well-suited to bring these to bear because you can bring AI capabilities with an industry verticalized lens, create custom competitively advantaged AI, which helps your business, but is also essential to the organizations that you're working with. And so I think the real opportunities there are helping to guide, helping to act in a consultative manner in enabling organizations to think about how they take that crawl, walk, run with embedded, bolt-on, and custom-built AI. There are going to be scenarios that don't require AI. Don't make AI the center. Make business problems and opportunities the center of your guidance to your clients.
So, Jared, this was incredibly helpful to help orient the group of folks that we work with on a day-to-day basis to what SAP's Business AI is. Thank you so much for your time. You're not off the hook because I think I'm going to be coming back to you for ongoing questions. I would love to do another interview. I feel like we barely scratched the surface here. And this is such a fast-moving topic that I think we're going to want to stay on top of this. And you're the right person to help us do that. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to the next conversation.
What may not come across instantly is that Jared is, in person, a very funny guy. And you got a little sense of that with his comment about a sales order is not an aquarium. And he takes that sense of humor and he uses that throughout his conversations with AI, and I love that. So I love turning those conversations that are theoretical into something real. And it's always great to hear from a customer who's actually using AI. Josh recently did an interview with one of our customers, Team Liquid, and they talked through exactly how they're using AI, and it's pretty cool stuff. Let's get to it.
So we wanted to welcome Jesse Hart, the Senior Director of Sports Science and Analytics at Team Liquid. Jesse, thank you so much for joining us. As a fellow gamer and a former collegiate athlete and analytics nerd, I've been looking forward to speaking to you about your experience with implementing an AI solution built on top of SAP Business Technology Platform. So again, thank you for joining us here.
Hey, happy to be here. I'm glad to hear I've got a fan already. That's good.
Yeah, sorry. Cool. So let's just start with an easy question. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your company?
Team Liquid is an esports company. That means we do competitive gaming. It's very much like traditional sports, except the medium is a video game. And it's not just people playing online anonymously from a basement. They are actually going out to stadiums. Our Dota 2 team, for instance, they spend about 200 days on the road traveling from event to event, wherever it may be. And we compete for very large sums of money. It's a $1.4 billion industry projected to be $3 billion in a couple of years' time. Like it's massive. And it's our job as Team Liquid to A, find the best talent possible to compete, and then prepare them so that they can win titles and do all those fun things. So as the person who manages all the performance, I'm responsible for everything kind of out of the game and analytics.
Wow. So the spotlight is really on you guys and Team Liquid. And I know Team Liquid's one of the top teams in the world. And with the spotlight so bright, even Olympics are looking at you, all these sponsors are looking at you guys. The importance of having all the right data and everything managed is really, really, really crucial. Obviously, you're an analytics guy, you're a math guy, so you get it. Before this whole AI journey started, what was the biggest business challenge that you saw that needed to be addressed right away?
We always compare ourselves to traditional sports. If you look at, say, NFL or Major League Baseball or something like that, both places where data is used quite heavily, they have nothing really intuitively within that game that gives them data. They have to do something to get it, be that installing like sensors and trackers, all they've done through the MLB stadiums, or just looking at video footage and just manually scoring stuff down like they used to do back in the day. They'd all do this stuff to get an advantage and look at the trends and the data and see what they could possibly do with it. Esports is totally different. As an entirely digital medium, every click, every action is recorded, and then we can do stuff with it. So imagine having all your college ball tape just automatically transcribed into a digital medium. Like, that's pretty crazy. And so it's a very natural question to ask, what can you do with it? Like, you've got all this data just sitting around. Like, what can you do with it? I think in 2018, we signed an agreement with the SAP that they could come on as our official innovation partner and start taking a crack at this data and trying to unlock the secrets within.
So how did AI even become an option to address this business challenge?
We had a world championship, and the world championship changed their format. It was very crazy at the time. It used to be that you'd get a fixed set of opponents and you'd prep for each opponent and hope you win enough games. But this time they changed things around where you play someone on day one, then you wouldn't know who was playing on day two. It could be any of the other teams that are involved. There's 16 different teams. And we had a challenge there to say, how can we prepare for 15 different opponents at the level of detail that we need to prepare for each person? And so one of the first things we did was we applied a machine learning model to all the data that we have in SAP and the HANA cloud. And we said, well, what things makes the other team succeed? What things do they do in game that lead to the most probable outcome of success for that team? And the answer for each team is going to be different. So much like traditional sports, each team's got their own kind of play style or things they like to do. And we had the power to sit there with all this data from all these files to sit down and analyze everything and go, okay, they like to do this at this time, so we can be prepared for it. And so when we do end up getting the next opponent that we, you know, may not have even thought of that we'd be playing against, we kind of are ready to hit the ground running and I've got a full stat sheet ready to go to kind of guide the players and guide the in-game decision-making. So that was a huge win for us. That was...
That's not even fair. You guys are already using Analytics Cloud and S/4HANA to hold all the data, but you can analyze everybody's move just from machine learning that quickly and be able to prepare your team for the next team, no matter who it was, really quick. That's amazing.
Exactly. Like it is a little bit unfair, but I mean, yeah, you do everything in your power to win, right? So every possible advantage we can get is something that we need. So we were discussing what is the next thing we can do to try and find an advantage. We talked about a couple of options and maybe we should look at draft. Now, I should probably explain what the drafting process is. So we're specifically talking about League of Legends here, which is one of the world's largest esports. This is the game that you're referring to that had their world finals, had a higher viewership than the Super Bowl. The drafting phase is basically your character selection. You can literally win or lose a game based on the decisions you make during this phase of the game. Like we have. In 2022, we had a world championship qualification match and it was best of five, last game, you know, all the chips on the table, and they pull out this crazy combination on us that we didn't see coming. And we basically lost, you know, an entire year's worth of work because of missing this silly thing that happened. So we thought about the situation. SAP thought about all of the things that happened and said, why don't we try and get better at drafting? Why don't we try and find a way that we can figure out how to make better choices, more informed choices during this phase of the game, the pregame rather, and see if we can find a way to make things better there. And that's where the kind of the genesis of the idea to start using AI came in. Again, huge advantage. Back to your comment of being unfair. That would be very unfair of us to already know what they're planning.
It's all fair in love and war, right? And especially when it comes to video games, exactly. You take any advantage, or sports, you take any advantage you could get. So when you're working with SAP hand in hand with this, what did you learn that SAP can offer that other vendors cannot?
One thing I will say is that we didn't build this project with AI in mind, right? Our data set was formalized and constructed and conceived of in 2019. For people who don't know much about AI, basically your prerequisites to being able to build your own AI is having a really good data set. If you don't have a good data set, you're kind of out of luck. Our data was already prepped nicely. It was already there. It was already in a format that we could just kind of throw into the machine and get answers out of. So the thing that was most surprising was the fact that we had so little downtime in switching tact from more traditional analysis towards a more generative AI ML kind of approach. And the efficiency in that switch, despite not doing any planning beforehand, was really good. I mean, we hit the ground running, basically.
Was there anything that surprised you about SAP capability with AI?
Let's contextualize. Our data set has 500 billion data points in it now. Like, that is a lot of data. We ingest about 20,000 games a day. Each one of those has got like 10,000 data points or something attached to them. We are ingesting a lot of data, and our data set is massive. And the efficiency at which we can cut through all this data is very impressive. The AI project saved about 10,000 hours annually on just data analysis, so just preparing drafts and things for his team. So that's kind of crazy.
Wow. I work here, and that impresses me. So that's really cool to hear. And once you started the AI journey and started implementing and seeing the success of it, have you seen any other workflows or ideas unlock?
Well, we're really excited about Joule. We were first introduced to Joule a couple months ago, basically the natural language processing that allows you to query the HANA cloud directly. Crazy. For us, we think this is an absolute game changer. What it's going to do is it's going to allow non-experts to ask expert-level questions and get expert-level responses. So I'm thinking of a world where our head coach, who's not technical but very clever about the game, can ask a question in his language to our data set and have the data, the AI, return an answer back to him without ever having to go through our data analyst. That's one of the real exciting things about AI, right? It really empowers people who are specialists in one field to ask expert level questions without having to have that technical expertise to extract the data. And that's just unbelievably powerful. And we're going to see a lot more of this, not just in esports, but just like everywhere in business, I think.
Absolutely. And so we have a lot of SAP partners that are experts in designing solutions for business problems, implementing these solutions. What kind of support do you think you could have used from an SAP partner in your early days?
People want to make use of AI, but don't quite know how to. We're pretty special in a sense because we have like strongly technologically literate people with strong backgrounds in the world of data and could kind of help push the conversation in those directions where it needed to be had. But if you're struggling to figure out how to apply AI, you like, I've got a lot of repetitive tasks, I want to be able to do this with my business. That's where AI might be able to find a solve for you. It might be a way to simplify your life, find an efficiency like we've been able to find. And it just takes someone who's familiar with the technology to help guide that decision-making process. And, you know, we've had that every step of the way with SAP, and we're pretty confident you'll end up in the right place.
Amazing. One last question. What advice would you give to other organizations considering partnering with SAP and their partners for their AI initiatives?
AI is a game changer. It will continue to change things, whether you realize it or not. Half of the things going on behind the scenes will start to be informed by AI. And if you're not engaging in it now, you risk not having the tools that you need that everybody else is using. We're one of the world's largest esports teams. We're probably the only esports team using AI. If not, there's maybe one or two others. And the fact that we're able to leverage AI is giving us wins. It's literally giving us an unfair advantage against our competition. And anybody using AI right now against people who are not are getting those same kind of advantages in business. And you want to be with people who can keep guiding you through that as things keep changing and we've had such a wonderful experience with SAP. Like, we keep leveling things up. We keep finding the next way to push the advantage, keep finding new ways to keep pushing the technology, find how we can keep improving. And SAP have been game every time we said we need to do more. And I think that's what you want in a partner who's willing to go the extra mile and kind of make stuff work for you. So we're very happy, and we think you will be too.
Absolutely. And SAP and our SAP partners definitely have those people to be able to create those solutions for any customers that need it. So Andrew always says AI is coming whether you like it or not. So you got to get on the train now while it's still early and get ahead of the game like you guys seem to do. And man, I can't wait to watch you guys in the championships and stuff. And I can't wait to hear more about this journey, especially when Joule's installed. And good luck with everything. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Joshua. I appreciate it.
Now it's time for our Ask Me Anything segment. Shawnee from NTT Data has a very specific question on AI.
My question today is around the use of AI in marketing specifically. I'm curious to understand how we can improve efficiencies with AI tools.
That's a great question, Shawnee. While we've got him, why don't we ask that question to Jared, our expert?
So this is a great question. And in fact, in our previous AI practices, we were able to work with 16 times the number of prospects with only 20% more individuals. And there's a few aspects. There's the people aspect and culture aspect. You want to always encourage your people, first and foremost, to come up with the clever uses of AI. And I say that because there's going to be a lot that I won't be able to say here on this podcast. So start with the people and the culture. Then let's talk about some of the natural capabilities of generative AI, the creation of content, the creation of visuals, the creation of any sort of brand identity if you're trained appropriately. So the things that you spend your repetitive work on, the drafting of messages, the wordsmithing, a lot of that can be automated in a manner that just allows you to run more effectively. And so think about that. Think about the human element and human touch that you want to create without requiring as much of the human cycles.
Thanks, Shawnee, for the great question. And Jared, thanks for the answer. Please keep your questions coming. Even if we don't feature them on one of the episodes, we'd love to be able to answer them for you. You can send your questions in by scanning the QR code, or you can email joshua.coleman@sap.com. Okay, welcome back. And to wrap things up, I'm bringing back Vidya and Josh to get some reactions from them and also some key takeaways. Let's talk about Team Liquid first. Josh, you did the interview. What stood out to you?
First of all, I didn't realize, I'm a gamer. I like gaming. I didn't realize how in-depth it is and how analytical it is. Every game they play is, I think, 20,000 clicks. And so that blew me away. The other thing that really stood out was Joule, how excited he was about Joule, that it takes a non-professional, somebody like the coach, his example, being able to talk to the analytics cloud and analytics, get some professional advice from that and be able to translate it back to himself, who now he can take it back to his team to be even better and get a more competitive advantage against the others. And they just won their second world championship. So it's working.
It's clearly working. Vidya, how about you? You watched the interview. What did you think?
I think the one thing that struck me across all of the interviews, and especially listening to Team Liquid, is the ease that they experienced working with SAP, working with Joule, working with conversational AIs, and all of the interactions that they've had. And that was the exact point, if you think of this entire journey. So we are using AI now day to day, whether it's sorting your Netflix algorithms, whether it's traveling to work, whatever that you're doing, AI is touching every part of our lives. So it's an exciting time for our customers, for us to know, to understand, to absorb. And this would be my call out and my ask from partners again. If you've not embraced SAP Business AI, reach out to us, leverage the resources that are available, and get started on this journey.
Yeah, I loved a couple of things that he said. One was he talked about the data and how they had this really clean data source, which I think was obviously invaluable for them. I just think that it's incredible how they had almost no downtime because their data was so good. It just moved smoothly into this. And what he also said was it's the competitive advantage for virtually any company, not just in their line of business. So I thought that was a really important takeaway for customers to think about. Okay, let's turn our attention now to the Jared Coyle interview. And Vidya, let's start with you. What was the thing that really stood out to you from what Jared was talking about?
I, of course, know Jared, and given his experience and background, I think what really struck me, sometimes we catch on to trends a little later than we would have liked. Sometimes we ignore a lot of our own interests and passions. And I think AI is something that we definitely cannot bypass. So Jared's journey was actually quite inspirational, bringing a little bit of AI sparkle into our lives.
Okay, Josh, how about you?
Yeah, there's a couple things that stood out. Personally, one of the things that stood out that I thought would affect me was how he said he has a PDF of over 200 emails, 200 pages that he loads up into Claude. And then he'll say, okay, draft an email, blah, 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 based on my language in this 200 page PDF and make it sound like me and give the parameters. I'm like, that's amazing. So personally, I thought that was cool. SAP wise, I love the fact that he's talking about security and how all the information that's loaded into our AI database, LLMs, everything is protected. So like our partners, our customers don't have to worry about it getting leaked out to the public or anything like that. I think that's huge, obviously. And then the third thing was the different types of AI. We have the embedded, the bolt-on, and then the custom AI.
I love what Jared was talking about as it relates to the partners in saying how just start with something practical. You already are bringing the industry expertise that you have to the table. Start there. Start with a business process and, you know, tease that out of the customer. Help them understand what they're doing today that can be improved. Okay, well, Vidya and Josh, thanks so much for your insights and for your takes on the interviews that we did. This has been a great episode. Really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, that will do it for this episode. We're going to continue this conversation with AI because it is such a huge topic. I recently did an interview with Jason Cook, and here's a sneak preview.
This is not about a sprint. This is a long-term partnership that we would be thinking about, because customer acquisition cost is the one of the more expensive kind of engagements that we're going to have with them. This is actually acquiring them as a customer. But that first sale is not typically where SAP or our partner sees the most revenue. It tends to happen in year three and year four. So having patience is super important, and understanding that our goal should be meeting them where they are in the manufacturing of the demand process. It's educating them and not trying to force emotion, but also trying to help them, help guide them, be their shepherds, if you will.
Thanks all for watching or listening to the Spark Marketing Podcast. We hope this was helpful. We'll see you next time.